The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you, and may follow all things that sustain our life in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. So you started school back to school a week ago or 2 weeks ago or some time ago. And then at school, how many of you are in a different classroom than you were last year? Are you in a different classroom than you were last year? Almost all of you are in a new classroom rather than last year. And you're at a different school than you were last year. Anybody else at a different school than they were last year? Oh, several of you. Well, one of the things about going someplace new, at least for me, sometimes I get lost. Any of you ever get lost at school yet? Did you get lost? Did you lose your classroom? Forget where your classroom is?
No, I memorized it.
You memorized it.
Well,
that's a good way to memorize it, to repeat it in your head where you put it or where you left it. I leave things and then I can't find them. Does that ever happen to you? Do you put something down and then can't find it? Where are my shoes, Mom? Where's my backpack?
Where's the remote?
Where is all the things that I need? Sometimes I can't find them. Well, you know what? At school, I bet in the teacher's, in the principal's office, or maybe in the school office somewhere, there's a box. And on the box, it says, lost and found. Well, what's in that box? What might be in that box? Okay, so somebody might have lost some piece of clothing and that's in the box. I find sweaters get left in church sometimes, or a hat maybe, sunglasses, people leave their cell phones. Writer? Oh, a lost and found emoji? Oh, that's interesting. You know, there the lost and found, we say on the box it says lost and found, but there are no found objects in that box. There are only lost things in that box. Because the person that lost it is still looking for it. When you lose something, if you know you lost it, you go hunting for it, right? Do you go hunting for that, for those shoes when you're ready to leave the house? And Mom's saying, get in the car, we got to go to school. And you go, I can't find my shoes. You have to go look for them. They don't come looking for you. I've never seen a pair of shoes come crawling out from underneath the bed looking for you. You have to go look for them yourself. Well, the story that you will hear in Sunday school today is about Jesus tells a couple stories about things that are lost and then who goes to find them. And so pay attention to who goes to find the lost things, but also pay attention to what happens after the things that were lost are found. That's my favorite part of the story. Not just the lost, not the seeking, but what happens after those things are found. So let's go off to Sunday school. And Danielle, would you carry the Bible, please? And Miss Deirdre is ready to have you in Sunday school class. Would you carry the Bible?
A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from 1 Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of all ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus told them a parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light the lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
It seems to me that we're always looking for something. Your keys, a new house to rent, a new idea, a job promotion, an answer to your prayer. Well, the Gospel reading today includes two of Jesus' stories about searching for what is lost, a lost coin and a lost sheep. But it's not just lost things that we search for, but we search for answers. Answers to why do bad things happen in our world? How might we find forgiveness in the midst of tragedy? What does our new normal life look like when we have lost a loved one? How might we find peace between nations? What should our priorities be in illness and disease, or old age, or recovery? We're searching for answers about God and how to live out our faith. But really, I think when we only focus on the lost and the searching part of this gospel, we miss what I think could be the main point that Jesus is making.
This is a story, or two stories, about joy. It's about more than being lost or being found. It's more than about the grumbling of the Pharisees and the scribes who were judging and finger wagging. This is a story about joy. It's about God's joy anytime a person is brought back into a relationship with God, anytime a person chooses life, anytime a person lives to his or her potential, or who helps out another person, and in all of these ways is actually found. It's joy. It's pure joy. The Pharisees and the scribes don't get that. They don't realize that God is, first of all, about love rather than rules, about joy rather than sadness, calm rather than anger, assurance rather than fear, or all those other things that we might imagine God is about. When we focused on just what is lost in this story, we might miss the joyful character of these stories, the joyful character of God. We might also miss the fact that there's a lot less attention on what is lost, the sheep or the coin, than on the one who is doing the searching, and on those who are called in to help celebrate. These stories aren't really about a lost sheep or a lost coin. They're really about a shepherd who risks everything to go to look, about a woman who sweeps her house all night long in order to find. These stories are about a God who will always go looking for God's lost, no matter how risky, no matter how long it might take, and then throwing a party to celebrate that the lost has been found. Think of how in these parables, it's ordinary people who represent God. A shepherd who stands on the bottom rung of the ladder to success. A woman who has only 10 coins to her name. And their neighbors, other people like them. Maybe these aren't just metaphors. Maybe they are reminders that God so often works through ordinary people to do the extraordinary work of finding someone and joining in the celebration when someone has been found. On September 11th, 15 years ago, a lot of people, ordinary people, went to work like every other day. Some people went to work at the World Trade Center in New York. And that day turned out to be a day like no other. This past week, you've probably heard, as I have, lots of news reports and stories reminding us and telling us about the events of that day, about the heroes on 9/11. Ordinary people who did extraordinary things, even to giving their lives to make sure that others could live. I read about people who were buried under rubble for days, just praying to be found. And about others who spent days just looking for the lost. There were those who were trained for such disasters. The firefighters, the police officers, security personnel, airline workers who risked their own safety to find the lost. And there were ordinary people, vacationers on the way back home, stock exchange clerks, janitors, passersby, who risked their own lives for the safety of others to find the lost. On that day, as on every day, God uses people to find other people who are lost. Bishop Stephen Bowman was the ELCA bishop in Metropolitan New York Synod in 2001. And he tells this story about one of the events from September 11th. A pastor in his synod also served as a chaplain for the firefight department. That pastor saw the first plane hit the tower, and he ran from his church to the site. And when he arrived there, the firefighters were putting on their gear. He gathered them together and marked the cross on their forehead with oil and prayed for them. Then the firefighters ran into the building. The people who survived, 12 out of the 13 of those firefighters did not. The people who survived said that they saw the crosses shining on the firefighters' foreheads. In that great darkness, and in that suffering, the light of Christ appeared. Bishop Eaton reminds us that in baptism, we have been marked with the cross of Christ. We have had a cross of oil marked on our foreheads to shine out in places of darkness and places of suffering. She writes this: "We are sent into dark places in the world. That is where we are, and that is where we must be on September 11, 2016. God has given us God's work of reconciliation. When we show up for our day of service in our yellow t-shirts or black or blue, when we show up in our communities, we must give witness to the love of Christ that is stronger than hate, and the life of Christ that is stronger than death. May we be joined to the death and resurrection of Christ through baptism and be light for the world." I hope and I pray that we won't ever find ourselves in the kinds of circumstances like that terrorist event of 15 years ago. And yet, God can use us. God does use us. God will use us at work and at school, at home, in our congregations, in our places of volunteering. God is constantly using us to find others. But the finding isn't the end. Let the joy and the celebration begin. God is all about using ordinary people like us to find others in order to celebrate, in order to create more joy. And not just on God's Work Our Hands Sunday, but every day. We are called to work to search out what is lost. And in that, we learn so much about God. We find God's love, God's joy. But it is in our being found through the promises of baptism that we discover the grace of God, without which we could not do the seeking work to which we have been called. Like we heard in our first readings from Moses and from Paul, we can go back through our own histories and point to moments when God has promised us blessing and hope and salvation despite our failings. We offer our imperfect hands, our imperfect selves in service to God and neighbor, seeking justice and hope and peace. But it's God's work to seek us out and claim us as children of God. When our searching fails to turn up what we seek, when we find ourselves and others in deeper pain and in need than we can handle, we remember that we have a God who through baptism has already found what has been lost. You know, God isn't a very good accountant, very good planner. Leaving 99 in the wilderness, spending much more time and money on a celebration to celebrate what has been found, spending much more than that one silver coin, seeking and searching for that one sinner, one by one. I heard it once said that God only can count by ones. This is good news, because you're that one. God is eager to be merciful toward you, merciful toward us, eager to have a reason to celebrate and to rejoice. Today is the day that Jesus says to you and to me, join me at this table. Come and eat with me. Come and celebrate. Now that's what got Jesus into trouble with the Pharisees and the scribes. He eats with sinners. And in that century, and in that day, that phrase to eat with doesn't mean just grabbing a snack at the coffee bar. To eat with was a day-long celebration. Jesus is saying that God spends time and wants to be with us in an intimate, in a loving, in a celebratory way. Thanks be to God for this good news. Jesus says to us, come to this table and eat with me, because this is the place where Jesus still welcomes sinners and eats with them and rejoices with them, with us. Amen.